is good to see you, though. I was on giving a retreat last week for the Handmade Sisters. So there's 32 of them total. We have just 4 of them here in Dickinson. And throughout the summer, they go on retreats in groups of 4 or 5 of them, 8-day silent retreats, in which they enter into 8 days of silence with just scripture, the word of God, and then someone who they meet with, the priest, for 1 hour a day of spiritual direction. And so a couple years ago, Mother Mary Claire asked if I would lead one of these retreats. I told her no. I said, nope, not doing it right now. She asked again, and I told her, okay. And so that's where I was last week. And you know, in silence, because sisters go on this, some of you, even the Handmade Sisters, a couple times in the year, will put on for women a silent retreat, just a weekend one, in the convent here in Dickinson. And then priests, they go on a silent retreat each year as well. And you know, when you enter into silence, God does something in that. Because we live our lives with so much noise and so much busyness that all that noise and all that busyness can keep kind of pushed under the surface a lot of stuff in our life. A lot of different things that we'd rather and prefer them to be sort of just kept underneath the surface. But in silence, especially a deep silence, those things in our life have a chance to rise to the surface. But it's not just a silence, it's also a silence in listening to the word of God as well. That in scripture, Jesus speaks to us his word, and it is alive. It is as alive as when he was speaking with his disciples that he speaks to you now. And I'll say it again and again, as long as I'm your pastor here, and you're going to get tired of it, but it's the truth. The Lord speaks to you. He is speaking to you. For us to be listening. For us to have some silence in our life where we're able to hear him speak to us. So in the midst of the silence, because we begin the day early in the morning with Mass, and then I meet with the sisters for 1 hour of spiritual direction into the early afternoon. And all that spiritual direction is doing is helping those who are on retreat, as all these things are coming up and they're having all these experiences in prayer, all these graces, all these sufferings that start coming up, is to help them to move from their perspective and their experience of it, which is important, to seeing it and seeing their life more from God's perspective. Because our perspective of things can be just very limited. But to see from this wider perspective, to see their life and what's going on in prayer and going on in all things in their life from God's perspective is to see with an understanding heart. It's to see with wisdom. And this wisdom is seeing everything through the lens of wisdom incarnate, which is Jesus himself. The only thing that can make sense of our lives, the only thing is Jesus. Nothing else can make sense of all the different things that happen in our life. He is the only one, when we see things through him and in light of the kingdom of heaven, it's only then that our life is going to begin to make sense. And everything we go through, both the joys and the deep and dark sorrows as well. In this first reading from the book of Kings, we hear of King Solomon. He was a young man when he became the king of Israel.
He was King David's son, and he only became king after his other brother was trying to kill him. And he became king at a very young age, and this was when Israel was at its political height in power and all the rest, and here he is made king of this great nation. And so the Lord comes to him, and Solomon asks for the gift of an understanding heart, for the gift of wisdom, that as a young ruler, who in his young age has such a limited perspective and such a limited experience, and as a young ruler, you can imagine all the different people who are going to come and try and give him advice and counsel, and to know whose advice is actually that from true wisdom and who is just trying to sway things in their own favor. And so what Solomon asks for is this gift of wisdom to be able to rule and to see things from God's perspective and in the light of the kingdom of heaven and not just his own limited view. And God grants him this. You could think of hundreds of examples, right? Of people who were given all sorts of earthly gifts, especially young in their life. People who, in an instant, have a ton of wealth or are thrown into positions of power and they're given authority. Or overnight, they have fame. These are all earthly gifts. But if they have all these gifts without wisdom, those gifts will ultimately turn on the person and they'll destroy them. Think of a professional athlete, instantly, wealth, fame. If they don't have wisdom and an understanding of how to use things in light of the kingdom of heaven, it can turn on you and it can destroy you. And so Solomon asks for this gift of wisdom. Because those earthly gifts, they're not evil things. A person who comes upon great wealth, that's not evil in itself. Or even someone who becomes famous, that's not an evil in itself. They're dangerous, but so is fire. Someone who is given power, authority, we need people like that. But it's what makes it deadly for that person and for others is if a person is given that gift without wisdom. But if they have wisdom, they're able to use that gift of perhaps wealth that they have or the power that they've been given to help build up the kingdom of heaven. And they're able to see things rightly, their life and also everything that God has given him, both good things and also the things that are difficult in the struggles and the sorrows as well. Your life, we see so little of our life, even as we're living it. You have a memory of things that have happened, but you don't even know that memory is kind of foggy. You remember things in your life, but the way we remember them, sometimes we remember things, and at night, it's not always as accurate as we think it is all the time. Sometimes our memories can be deceiving. Can't see anything into the future. And even what's going on right now in your life, how clearly do you see it? You can see all these individual trees, perhaps, but do you see, can you zoom out and see the whole forest? Do you see your life from the perspective of God with an understanding heart, with wisdom? Choose any one of these windows in the church and look at just one little piece of it. Each one of these windows is made of hundreds of little pieces of glass. Literally hundreds. You can count through. There's a couple hundred in each. Our life is very similar to what these windows represent. Your life at any particular time is just one little small piece of glass in the midst of it. And it might be that little star that's up there, that's bright and shining. Or it might be one of the little pieces in which it's really dark and hardly any light gets through it. Every little piece is our life at a different point. And if all we're able to see is from our own little perspective, all we're seeing is that little piece and trying to remember the other ones that came before. But it's only when we turn to God and see our lives through the lens of Jesus, who's at the center of each one of these, and to see it from the perspective of God and to see our life in light of eternity and the kingdom of heaven, that we're able to begin to see the bigger picture, to see our lives through the lens of wisdom. And of course, we're not led blindly through that life either. This is why the Lord has given us his word, scripture, that you can take any book of the Bible on its own or any little chapter, and it might make a little bit of sense, but not entirely until you take the whole thing together and we can see what God has done with this whole plan of his salvation. That when you see our life through the example of God and his word and salvation, through Jesus Christ who makes the whole thing make sense and gives meaning to it, or seeing your life in light of the example of the saints, who their whole life, in everything they did, all the great things they did and all the suffering they went through, only makes sense in light of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of heaven. It's only then that we're able to see our life and every part of it, and whatever the part of life that you're going through right now, that you can make sense of it through Jesus Christ and to see it in light of the kingdom of heaven. Because it's then we see how Jesus in our lives truly is that hidden treasure. He's the pearl of great price. He's the one who makes sense of everything, both the joys and the dark sorrows as well. Because in eternity, pray God, from the perspective of heaven, we'll be able to see as God sees, and you'll be able to see your whole life and to see what God was doing in the midst of it and how even the dark pains in which very little light seemed to be coming through, they were part of what the much greater, bigger picture that God was building and working within you. And so to pray as Solomon did, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Give me an understanding heart. Give me wisdom that I might see my life, not just from my own perspective or other people's perspective, but from yours, Lord. Give me wisdom.